Hallelujah. Awesome, awesome. Good job. I've got my mic. I'm ready to roll. Amen. He's planted. Amen. Can we acknowledge that? He is planted. You are planted. You are planted. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to jump right into it this morning. Tidal wave, you may be dismissed. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're going to start reading with verse 20 this morning. This is week number 2 of our series, Planted and Not Buried. Let's do this, right? I want you to look at your neighbor. And give your neighbor this attitude look. And you say to your neighbor, I'm planted and not buried. I'm planted. Come on, you got to say it like you mean it. I'm planted and not buried. Amen. That's more like it. I'm planted and not buried. How many of you have ever planted a seed? 3 of us. Come on. Come on. You planted a seed before. I have planted a seed before. I have put a seed in the soil before. I don't know what happened to it. But I have planted a seed before. When you plant a seed, it goes underground, right? It goes underground, under some dirt. And that seed is meant to be invisible for a season, right? When you're planting that seed, you're not looking at the seed. You planted that seed under some dirt, and that seed is invisible for a season. That season is critical for that seed to produce. Without this season of being invisible, that seed will never be able to reach its full potential. You and I, as believers, God sees us in the same manner. We are seeds, and there are seasons in our life where we are underground, invisible. But this is where God is doing a whole lot. Sometimes even the place where God has planted us might look like a burial ground. A place where you think you're going to be buried. It might give you the appearance that this is the burial ground. This is where you're going to breathe your last. This is where you're going to expire. This is where you're going to die. But I need you to remember this. With God, planting is positioning for purpose. When God is planting you, is positioning you for a purpose. We find this to be true in the life of Joseph. Right there in chapter 39, and we start reading in verse 20. By the way, how many of you have downloaded the app? (Laughter) A few of you have. You can download the app right now. You go to your app store. You type in my church. And then in the key, you say enter keywords. You enter Oceans AK space app. It will pull up Oceans United. And you can follow along to the message as I'm preaching. You can even take notes as you go. And the very first note that you probably should take is this. Planting is positioning for purpose. I'm helping you out this morning. I'm helping you out this morning. So you take out your smartphone. I was going to say dumb phone, but I don't even know if you can use a dumb phone for this. Use your notepad. Use your tablet, whatever you have. I want you to write this down. Planting is positioning for purpose. Genesis 39 verse 20 says this. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. Not a whole lot of amens on that one, right? I don't see a whole lot of people jumping up and down and getting so excited about this little passage that we just read, that little sentence, that little verse where Joseph was put down into a dungeon, buried underground, invisible to everyone. You see, when we think of the life of Joseph, we think of Joseph as the guy who wears the coat of many colors, right? We even might think of him as the one who was in charge of Egypt, second in command from Pharaoh. But very few will remember Joseph right here in this season, buried in invisibility. Not just for a short period of time, no one was coming to post bail for him. He stayed in that place, buried underground for 5 to 6 years. That place of confinement became the birthplace of God's destiny for his life. The same could be true for you and me. When we look back and look at different seasons in our life, just like Jesse shared right there in this garage where he felt like probably all was lost. But then out of this depth of this pit that he was in, he heard the song. He heard the song. He heard the voice of God calling him out, saying, I still got a plan. I still got a purpose for you. Even though you are invisible to everyone else. Same could be true for many of us this morning, where there were seasons in our life where we were buried underground. But what looks like a burial ground could be the exact soil that God will use to frame your destiny. That burial ground could be the exact soil carrying the exact nutrients that you need to take you to the next stage, to frame your destiny, to release God's seeds, God's purpose in your life. The key is to remain planted. The key is to stay put. I'm going to share with you a little story. my story. I've called it, I have to be very careful on how I say it. The title of this story, I would say it's Promotion to Prison. And that's my story. Like I say, I've got to be very careful how I say it, because we're live and it's broadcasted all over the place. And I have to be very careful when I say it, because I don't want to get caught. Exactly. In 2001, while I was still in college, I took on a job in Muskogee, Oklahoma. I was an Okie from Muskogee. And my job was a coordinator, okay? Just somebody who sat behind a desk, pushed papers. I had a staple. You know that type of job when you go in, they give you a staple, they give you a little tape dispenser. And that was my job. Not a dream job. Just a job to pay the bills. I'm in college, okay? That's all I needed. And I was married. We were in our second year of marriage. Within a few months, this is why I have to be careful how I say it. Within a few months of being in this place in Muskogee, the president of that place was forced to resign by the board, followed by several people who are being let go from their job, from their positions. Then I got the call from the chairman's office. I was expecting a pink slip. Instead, as I walk into his office, he wanted to promote me to the head of this big finance department. I went home, like most of you would, talked to your spouse, and prayed. So the next day, like a prayerful idiot, I accepted the position. Just a few months after that, we got flagged by the feds for improper use of federal funds. And wait for it. And the fine was $12 million. And I thought to myself at that moment when I got that letter and I'm reading this, the letter went to the president's office. So I'm sitting down now with a new appointed president. I'm opening up the letter and we're looking at this letter together. $12 million of fine with a payment plan on how you need to pay for it. And I thought to myself, you idiot, you've been framed. You see, in the business world, in finance, where pretty much that's my background, where I come from, this is called a burial ground. You are not going to survive this. This is it. You're going to take the fall for it. Even though if you've been on the job for only a few months, you are the guy in charge and you will take the fall. Within days, just like in the movies, a team of federal agents showed up and they camped right outside my office for weeks, going through stuff. Stuff that, like I say, I've got to be very careful on how I say this. But God that night led me to this scripture, Romans 5, and I'm reading this that night. And Paul is writing this and he's saying, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I mean, I read this, I rejoice. There's nothing wrong with this scripture. Love it. But then I read verse 3. And it says, not only that, but we also glory in what? Tribulations. Wait a minute. I mean, wait a minute. Are we reading this right? Are we reading this right? Glory in tribulations? The Greek root word for glory in this context is this: to wish for. To wish for. To desire. Who in their right mind, who in their right mind will wish for or desire tribulation? We're talking about heat here. Who prays for heat? Lord, bring the heat. Lord, bring it. I need more heat in my life. I need more tribulation in my life. Lord, bring it. Who prays like that? But here Paul is challenging us as believers to glory in tribulations. To glory, to desire it, to want it. Knowing, as we keep reading, it says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. That would be the next slide. And character, hope. Knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. This tribulation, this heat, produces a chain reaction. A chain reaction that releases perseverance in your life, that produces character, that develops hope, a chain reaction. How many of you remember from last week, the giant sequoia tree? Yeah, you were here, right? You remember the story of the giant sequoia. The secret of their strength, the strength of those giants, were in their root systems. How wide they spread. How connected they are to the source. And also how connected or interconnected they are with one another. Those giants were not standing there by themselves. They were connected with other believers. That's the secret of their strength. They were interconnected, just like you giants here this morning. You stand strong because you are interconnected with your roots, number one, to the source, to God Himself, but you are also interconnected with other believers. That's how we stay strong. That's why how we stay accountable with one another, because we are interconnected. Connected to the source one and interconnected with other believers. Very important. Very important. But yet again, I planted a seed that I don't know what happened to that seed before, right? I am not a tree expert. But I happen to know a tree expert. Would it be okay with you if I just call him right now? Would it be okay if I just call him? Actually, let's just call him right now.
Hello, your street service.
Hello, hey.
Hello.
Hey, are you the tree expert? Okay, would be nice if we can see what it looks like.
Yeah,
oh, there he is. Here's our tree expert. Okay, hey, we just got a quick question. We are right in the middle of a sermon right now at Oceans United.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay, listen, the question is, could you share with us another secret of the giant sequoia tree? I mean, I've been asked this question, but I can't answer that because I am not a tree expert. So you can you just tell us a little secret about the giant sequoia tree?
One of the cool things about the sequoias is how they go to reproduce. See, they have cones, and inside these cones they have a whole bunch of seeds. But they won't germinate, they won't go to reproduce until something like a wildfire comes through. The heat from the fire won't burn out the tree, it's got a thick, fire resistant bark, but the cones themselves will dry out.
Wow. So you mean to say that the heat is important? Just kind of like what we've been reading about. We've been reading this. I don't know if you heard a little bit about what we've been reading. We've been reading Romans chapter 5. And we were talking a little bit about the tribulation.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to check out that scripture because it's an amazing, amazing scripture.
Very cool.
Yeah. Okay. Listen. Thank you so much for taking my call right now. And I'm going to pass this on to our congregation this morning. Hey, but before you go, I've got a question. I've got something I'm going to say to you. And I want to see if this is what we're really talking about here. Because I really don't want to take our congregation to another level that we're not ready for. Okay? But here it is. You mean to say that even though those plants are planted in the right place, connected to the source and interconnected to one another, God will still use heat to bring out the fruits?
You bet.
Wow. Awesome. Thank you so much. And we will send business your way. Jerry Tree Services. Amen. All righty. Bye-bye. This tells us that heat is important. This tells us as body of believers that we should glory or we should desire the type of heat if we want to bear fruits, if we want to remain planted, one, but also bearing fruits. What's the point of being planted somewhere if fruits are not coming out, right? Because at the end of the day, the master is coming to check fruits. So what's the point of being planted if we are not going to be bearing fruits? So heat is important. So in your app, please take a note. Heat is a must. And then write this down. Lord, please send in the heat. How many believers, I mean, we're talking to believers here. How many believers will bail out at the very first sign of heat? Oh, I've accepted this assignment, but guess what? Too much pressure. Too much heat. I can't take it. Maybe this is what we would say. Remember, we're talking to the church. We're talking to believers. This is what normally we would hear. I don't think God wanted me to do this to start with. It just probably doesn't line up with what God spoke to me maybe 20-some years ago, you know, when I went to Bible college. I knew I was on the right track. I heard God. But this time it's a little bit too much. I can't handle this. Too much heat. And the very first thing that we do, we bail out. We transplant ourselves to a different type of soil where we will not bear fruits. The key in all of this is desire the heat, right? But when the heat comes, it's time to stay. It's time to be grounded. This is where you're connected to the source is so important. Because when the heat is coming and you're not coming to the source, you're going to run to a different source. When the heat comes, if you're not interconnected, being kept accountable with other believers, you will find friends in the wrong places. That would, number one, agree with your resistance, would confirm that your resistance is valid, would even open up the Bible and show you how the heat is not from God. The key here, what Paul is saying, desire the heat. Remain planted in that place until you can see perseverance coming out of it, until you can start seeing your character being developed, until you start seeing the unshakable hope that you can find only in Jesus Christ bring you back up to the surface when you can catch your breath and say, Lord, you are here and I know you are with me. You said in your word that you will never leave me, nor will you forsake me. I am here planted in you. I am connected to the source. I'm interconnected with other giants. And I'm strong because I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. But you can only say this when you remain planted. Believe me, at that time, in that season where I was at, I was coming up with all kinds of situations. I was playing scenarios in my head in terms of a financial audit. I've been through a lot in terms of financial audits. I know what is the expectation. I know what they'll be looking for. But I wanted to be ahead of the game. I wanted to know the expectation of what God had for me in that season, dealing with that $12 million. But I knew that it was not time for me to bail out. It was time for me to anchor down and brace myself for extreme heat. We're talking about lawsuits. We're talking about jail time. We're talking about an end of a career, because once you get that stain, that cannot go away. So I'm factoring all of that in, but I knew that was the right place. That was the right soil. I'm like, I'm staying put. Let the blazing fire come. Took me a while to say this, by the way. It wasn't like the day one when I felt like I was this idiot who was framed. It took me a while to get to this point, because I came up with everything to just check out. Checking out was so easy. I could even justify checking out with the Word of God. I can easily find something that will line up with what I want to believe and check out of that season. But I knew that I knew that I knew that I needed to stay put, to stay grounded. Verse 3-4 says, we also glory in tribulation, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Maybe instead of praying, Lord, deliver me from this, maybe the prayer should be, Lord, give me the grace to endure. Give me the grace to press through. And give me the grace, that's very important. Give me the grace to absorb and learn everything. Everything that you want me to receive in this hard season. I'm planted and not buried. I'm planted and not buried. I'm planted in this place and I'm not buried. That is something that us as a body of believers, we must align ourselves to this. We must not just say it because it's a catchy phrase. It must be something that is ingrained in us. Something that we believe in. That I'm buried. I am planted. And I'm not buried here. I'm planted. I'm going to bear fruits. I'm going to produce perseverance. I'm going to grow in my character. I'm going to have hope in what I'm believing God will deliver in my life. And I'm going to stay put. I've got 3 points for you this morning. 3 points. Point number one is this. Tribulation produces perseverance. James chapter 1 says this. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come," or troubles of any kind, by the way, any kind, "troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity." How about that word? "Consider it an opportunity for great joy." Wow. "Consider the troubles an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith," everybody say faith, "when your faith is tested," faith is tested, "your endurance has a chance to grow." Wow. "When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." So tribulation creates opportunities to be tested. How about that? Right? Tribulation will create opportunities to be tested. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. It's called perseverance. Growing is pressing forth. Perseverance is fighting the good fight of faith while you wait with contentment. Let me say this again. Perseverance is fighting the good fight of faith while you wait upon the Lord with contentment. Joseph's trials, there were many in his span of time in Egypt, lasted 13 years. Isn't that crazy? 13 years of being tried. David was also 13 years. Moses was 40 years of being tried. Question for you this morning is this. Is your faith being tested? Is your faith being tested? But here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to persevere, to press forth, to fight the good fight of faith. That's only for believers. See, the world will come up with something totally different. When problems come, the world would say, run away. Bail out. Leave. Find somewhere else. You're better than this. We hear that a lot. You're better than this. Come on, man. You're better than this. Get out of here. Go find something else to do. But the Word of God says, stay put. Stay grounded. I'm teaching you something. I'm getting you to a place where I want you to produce fruits, not just for yourself, but for the next generation. Think about the legacy of what you're going to leave behind. So you got to think about all these things before you pull the trigger and bail out where God has called you to be, to remain planted. Point number two is perseverance produces character. In Hebrews 5:8, it's talking about Jesus. He says, even though Jesus was the Son of God, right? He learned obedience from the things he suffered. Even though he was the Son of God, he also had to learn obedience from the things that he suffered. He had to persevere. He had to be tested in order to prove or to produce character. In prison, God was developing the character of Joseph. God was pruning. God was removing things that do not belong. In Muskogee, Oklahoma, God was developing my character. Lasted 7 years. But during those 7 years, God was grooming. Pruning is probably the better word. This is where he clips and then you go, ouch. This doesn't belong there. Pride was the very first thing. Work on that one. So many things were being pruned each time when the fire got stronger and stronger and stronger. In men's group, we talk about driving to work. I drove 113 miles to this job. Every day for 7 years. Believe me, I prayed, Lord, do something. Move me. Burn the place down. How about that? I mean, Lord, burn the place down. I mean, I don't need to go to work. I find another job. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, I prayed. On that journey I'm driving, that was my time to build myself up every single morning for a war. When I'm stepping into my office, it's like it's a battlefield. I mean, there were things flying at me every single day. I mean, those agents, they were not joking. I mean, they were expert in their field. They knew exactly what to come and look for. And they were uncovering so much. I had no idea that I was framed for this. But while the enemy was giving me this idea that I was being framed for the fall, because the enemy was telling me, you're not going to survive this, God was using that soil, that heat, to frame my destiny. Creating in me a character that up to this day, it stays. Up to this day, he's created a well in me that every time when heat comes, I rejoice. Because I know I can dig from that well. Because I've been put in this fire. I can dig from that well and pull out what I need to survive that heat. God's desire is for each and every believer to have that well. When the time of heat, when the heat is coming, they are able to draw refreshing water from the Holy Spirit that will be able to cool you down when the heat is so intense. I believe God is speaking right now to many of you where you've had this thought that I'm checking out. And Lord, here's the reason why. I believe God is saying right now, stay put. Stay planted. I am not done yet. There is much more in this soil, which is imperfect. But if you stay the course, if you stay planted, you will reap the fruits. Question for you this morning is your faith being tested? Is your faith being tested? God is forging in you godly character. God is forging a godly character, developing you to become a man and a woman of God. Point number three is character produces hope. Character produces hope. And this is Paul. He's writing in Philippians. He's actually saying, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content. Here's that word again. Content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned, here it is, the secret living in every situation. What's that secret? It's to be content. To be content in the place where God has called you. To saying, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. This is the place where you've called me. Until you tell me to move somewhere else, I am planted. I am planted in this soil. And I'm not bailing out. That is the secret living in every situation, whether you have or you don't have. Whether your stomach is full or your stomach is empty, you are content. Because God is the supplier of everything that you need. So you are content in the place where God has placed you, where He's planted you. You're content. Because your roots are going deep and wide. Your roots are planted in the place where you're tapping into the source Himself. You're connected to God Himself. And you're surrounded by other giants that will make sure that you don't fall. Would make sure that you stay connected, you stay grounded, and you stay accountable. In verse 13, it says this. Because I'm content. See, that is the part that is important in the very beginning. The secret of living is very important in the beginning. Before we can jump on verse 13. In verse 13, it says this. For I can do everything. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Why? Because I am grounded, I am planted, and I'm content in the place where I'm planted. Whether I have or whether I don't have, whether my stomach is full or whether my stomach is empty, I am content. I'm happy in the place where God has planted me. And because of that, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. At this point, we can say, Lord, bring the heat. Bring the trials, bring the challenges, bring the troubles, because I know that I am planted. And because I'm planted, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. It doesn't matter what comes my way, because I know that I will be able to overcome, because greater is He who is in me. And because of that, I can do all things through Christ who lives in me, who gives me the strength that I need day by day, no matter what the problem is. No matter what the problem is, because Christ has established residence in me, I can do all things because He's in me. His Spirit empowers me. My well is dug deep, touching the living water of life. So whenever the heat is coming, I need refreshing. I'm digging deep into the well. I'm bringing out a water that will refresh my soul. Because I'm grounded in the place where the well is. I am planted. Hope is not in your own strength. You cannot hope in your intellect. You cannot hope in what you've accomplished. You can't look at your past and say, I've accomplished so much and my hope is in this. Remember, talent will get you through the door. Qualification will get you through the door. But the grace of God is what can keep you in that place. So you can't just say, you know what, I got the knowledge. I went to school. That can take you so far. But if you're not tapping into the well, you will run dry. There's only so far that your natural ability can take you. In that place where I was in Muskogee, my natural well ran dry within 24 hours. My natural well ran dry within the 24 hours of me opening that letter. That was it. It was gone. Okay. What do we do? What do we do? I don't know how to come up with 12 million bucks. I mean, I don't know. I mean, be careful how I say it, but we were struggling financially. Basic needs. Keeping the lights on, paying employees. And I'm looking at the reality, numbers on paper, the numbers are screaming at me. Day after day, I'm looking at the numbers, I'm like, time to quit, buddy. Trying to stay home, trying to find another job. That well ran dry within 24 hours. But I found another source. I found the true well. I found the place where I can actually, every time I can run to him and say, I have no idea how to deal with this. What do I need? Who do I need to talk to? Get me connected with somebody who can provide a little bit of help. God did it. God did it all. Question for you this morning is this. Is your faith being tested? Is your faith being tested? God wants you to look up to him. Look up to him for that unshakable hope. Where your hope is not in your past. Your hope is not in what you've accomplished. Your hope is in him. Your hope is in him. That's the well. That's the well that's going to keep you going from season to season. Did I say there were 3 points? Well, I tricked you. There's a bonus point. There's a bonus point. Now, if you had your app, every chance that I'm getting, I'm dropping hints there. If you had your app, you would have known. Hope produces appointments. Somebody better write this down. Hope produces appointments. This is part of that scripture when we read Romans 5. Probably we skip over. We skip over verse 5. It says this. Now hope does not what? Disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. I must admit, many times we've read this. We've read over this. And all we see is unicorns and rainbows. That was me. All I saw was unicorns and rainbows. We missed the main point. The best part. The reward. Hope does not disappoint. I want you to look at this slide. I want you to look at the word disappoint. Because That's gold right there. That's the treasure right there. The word disappoint simply means missed appointments. How many of you have ever missed an appointment? Right? You've missed an appointment. Some stage in your life, you've missed an appointment. Here, the Word of God is saying this. Hope produces appointments. Hope does not disappoint. If it does not disappoint, it produces appointments. Not just any kind of appointments. Divine appointments. Divine appointments. Let me explain. A divine appointment is this. You're going your way, taking care of business, trying to figure out how you're going to not get buried by $12 million, and you're going your way, and then out of the blue, somebody shows up, walks along your path, and meets you halfway. You look at the person, and you say, whoa, where you come from? Well, I just got a call by someone who knows someone, who knows someone, to say, come and talk to you. That's a divine appointment. That's a divine appointment. This is God figuring out your need and being ahead of your need. All right? This is Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees ahead and makes provision. This is the God that goes ahead of you before you run into trouble and to make sure that you can survive this. Amen. At that moment when I met with this guy, I knew that God went ahead of me. That God made a way where there was no way and created a divine appointment because of this word here. Hope does not disappoint. But hope creates divine appointment. So Jesse, we're going to wrap this up. So whatever you got to do, you got to do it. I've got a final question for you this morning. Is your faith being tested? Think about it for a moment. Is your faith being tested? I would dare say if your faith is not being tested, Lord, what's going on? The words say that I need to desire, to wish for tribulation. Could you do this as a prayer? Could you, Lord, increase the heat? My faith needs to be tested. What is it that you want me to do that will test my faith? Now, don't look at your spouse. I know what you're thinking. Oh, my gosh, he's testing my faith every day. Oh, look at your children. They're testing my faith. We're talking about a different level of heat here. There's a level of heat on that side. I'm not looking at you. Hey, I said I had to be very careful of how I bring this message. It's not just the legalities behind it. There's something called home life as well, you know. I got to make sure I go home. I got to make sure I eat and I sleep well. There's a different type of heat that you need to be asking God for. When you ask God to turn on the heat, it'll take you to a place where you'll be challenged to persevere. You'll be challenged to develop character. You'll be challenged to dig a well where you would find hope beyond hope. That's in Him. in Jesus. Lord, bring in the heat so that I can lose sight of this shore. I can lose sight of this comfortable place. Because comfort is the enemy of what God wants to do in your life, in the life of this body of believers. I can tell you right now, wasn't really planning on saying this, but feel it's appropriate right now to actually say it. The place that God is going to take us as a body of believers is not going to be comfortable. The place where God is going to take us as a church, there's going to be heat. There's going to be tribulation. Question is, would you welcome that heat? Would you stay planted and grounded when the heat comes? Or would you bail out? That is a question that only the Holy Spirit can ask. But I can tell you this, as for me and my house, we've made a decision to stay planted, to stay grounded, to serve the living God. We are not budging from this place until we see whatever it is that is impossible that God wants to accomplish in this body, in this church. When you remain planted and stay the course, God will create divine appointments. I'm sure you want to know what happened, right? At that place where I work. A lot of you probably never heard that before. I don't think I can really explain. I don't think I can actually properly explain what God did. Because God took me out of the picture completely. I was a spectator watching God at work. That's grace. Grace is when God takes you out and say, watch son, watch I how it is done. That's the grace of a loving father. Just like many of you fathers here, when you would take your children alongside you and you would teach them how to get things done, how to work hard, how to be a person of integrity, how to be a person of character. That's our loving father. That's the way God treated me, because he knew I was a mess. He knew I had no clue. I was outside of my depth completely. Completely. After enduring one full year and some of this thorough, I won't say it's a business investigation, it was a full company-wide investigation. After one full year, I receive a letter from those federal agents. They wrote off the $12 million. Just like that. Just like that. As if it never happened. Do you know a federal agency that would actually do that? A government agency that would actually just say, just watch the news. Just watch the news. Somebody got to pay the price. Somebody got to pay the price for whatever happened. Thank God it wasn't me. It was him. It was him. He paid the price. He paid the price for that grace that I needed during this time, those 7 years. I could not have done it without him. It was his grace that kept me going. It was his grace that empowered me day after day to make this 113-mile journey to work. And every day was a battle. It was his grace. Would you please stand? In this room, all I see, giants. Giants. I see giants. I see spiritual giants that God is saying, stay planted. Stay planted. The source is right here. Stay connected to that source. I will provide you refreshing when you need it. I will supply all your needs according to what I have, according to what I've already received in glory. In glory. Christ has everything that we need. And he's saying, I will supply all what you need according to this glory. According to this glory, I will make sure that you accomplish everything that you need. That you need. We serve a mighty, mighty God. If God could do it in the life of Joseph, in the life of David, in the life of Moses, he can certainly do it in your life, in my life. Like I said earlier, there's many of you. That season that you're in right now has been really tough. You wish you've even talked to other people about this. Wish I never made that move. I wish I never did that. It's too much. Too much. I'm being stretched. I'm being stretched. God is saying, stay planted. Connect to me, your source. And I will see you through. I will see you through this season. Father God, we give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for this word. This empowering word. This challenging word even. That Lord, that this word will penetrate our hearts, Lord. That Holy Spirit, even throughout this week, the word that we've received today, Lord God, you're going to bring it back to the surface. You're going to bring it back to life. You're going to bring it back to our memory, to our remembrance, Lord God. When we're in that tough situation, Lord God, let that well be the place that we run to. I speak peace over each and every one of you right now in the name of Jesus. If your mind has been troubled, God is saying, be still and know that I am God. That I am your Lord. I am the one who would give you the strength that you need to accomplish the task that I've set before you. There is nothing that is too hard for our God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you all. God bless you all. Praise him. Give him a praise this morning. Give him a praise. Come on. Come on, we can do better than that. We serve a mighty God. Come on. Come on, give Him praise. Please be here next Sunday. That's going to wrap up everything that we talked about from being planted and not buried. Very important. There's going to be a vision that's going to be launched from this place, and you need to be here. Call somebody. If you haven't heard from someone who belongs to this body, reach out. Be the giant that is connected to them. Let them know that they are part of this body of believers. Same for you who are watching online. We want you to stay connected. You are very much part of this body. We need one another to accomplish the task that God has set before us. God bless you all.